It's here and now.
My name is Pai Patel. I have been in a shipwreck. I am on a lifeboat alone with the tiger. Please send help.
In the new film, Life of Pi, director Ang Lee brings Jan Martel's novel of a shipwrecked 16-year-old Indian boy to 3D life with images that the New York Times' A.O. Scott says are so beautiful, so surprising, and so right that I hesitate to describe them. The phantasmagorical novel by Canadian Jan Martel became an international bestseller when it was published in 2001 and won Britain's prestigious Man Booker Prize. The author weaves musings on zoology, theology, and the battle between life and death into his adventure tale.
The reason death sticks so closely to life isn't biological necessity. It's envy. Life is so beautiful that death has fallen in love with it, a jealous, possessive love that grabs at what it can. But life leaps over oblivion lightly, losing only a thing or two of no importance. And gloom is but the passing shadow of a cloud.
But the film is not the first time that Jan Martel's words have been brought to visual life. In 2006, Croatian illustrator Tomislav Tornianets won an international contest to provide art for a new edition of the book. The result was 2007's illustrated Life of Pi. When it was published, we spoke to both Tomislav and Jan. We began by asking Jan Martel to give us the arc of Life of Pi.
Indian boy's family decides to move to Canada, closes zoo, gets on ship, ship sinks, boy ends up on lifeboat with tiger, survives 227 days, gets to Mexico, tells the tale, is not believed by skeptical Japanese investigators, offers possibility of other story, reader must decide which is true.
There you go. What did lead you to, you know, illustrate the book? We should say there's a glorious author's note that introduces the book that led some people, silly people, including me, to think for a little while that it was a true story, that it was based in fact. When you add what are gorgeous illustrations, but still when you add illustrations, do you sort of take away that, you know, possibility?
Well, first of all, it's news to me that the story wasn't true. Ye person of little faith. All good art is true.
Well, and you're absolutely right, because it is entirely possible that a young boy and a Bengal tiger could survive at sea on a raft. I was right with you on that, Jan. And now the contest for the illustrations. And Tomislav, when you first heard about this, had you read the book? Did you have a sense of imagery in your head already? Or how did you approach this?
I had read the book several months prior to entering the competition. And I really loved the book.
What did you love about it?
The introspective quality of it. The fact that it allows for multiple interpretation of its plot and the message it conveys. I couldn't get it out of my head for months.
And many of us have images in our head of who is Pi, the Bengal tiger, the raft at sea. Jan, did you have any opinion as to how those characters should look in illustration?
No, not at all. In fact, I never describe Pi in the novel because it was irrelevant to me what he looked like. What was important was what was happening to him, what he was looking on to.
In fact, Tomislav, almost all of your illustrations are seen from Pi's point of view.
Actually, all of them are seen from Pi's point of view, or they are from his head. The book is written in first person, so seemed natural thing to do.
That's what I loved about Tomislav's conceit, was this idea that the reader becomes Pi, so all you see is his hands and his feet, just as if there were no mirrors, that's all we see of ourselves.
I'm looking at one of the illustrations now. This is of another, to me, she was a major character. This is the orangutan orange juice. What's happened, as you said, the ship has sunk and there were animals on board the ark, if you will, and he, Pi, is on the raft, and who comes floating towards him? Well, as you write, Jan, she came floating on an island of bananas in a halo of light as lovely as the Virgin Mary, the rising sun behind her. Her flaming hair looked stunning. Tomislav, he gave you a lot to work with there.
Yeah. Well, there were two kinds of illustrations, the one who were very well described in the text. A few that weren't, where all I had was only a single quote, a single sentence.
If you're an animal lover, it's tough. It's tough at sometimes because of the animals struggling to survive on the raft. The book warns against anthropomorphism or giving animals human characteristics. The zookeeper's creed is, you know, to remind his son, Pi, that animals are so dangerous. Jan, what are you saying about animals? And then Tomislav, what did you hear him say about animals in the book?
Well, about animals and in their struggles, I would say, yes, there is violence in the novel among animals, but I'd say it's a necessary violence. It's the violence that happens in the natural world, and we delude ourselves about life if we don't acknowledge that level of violence. So it is the violence of predator upon prey, which is in the order of things, and we mustn't ignore that. We mustn't glorify it, but nor must we completely ignore it, because then what we end up ignoring is not so much violence, which is, you know, a good thing to ignore, but we end up ignoring death. And you cannot, I think, plumb the depths of life without having a feel for death, for life's limitations. People often make much about the animal violence, but they forget that later on in the novel, a woman gets murdered and is beheaded. And that hardly anyone mentions that, and I think it's because we're quite inured to human violence, whereas the suffering of animals we perceive as being the suffering of innocence, which is, of course, not at all true. When the zebra, for example, dies, at no point does it say to itself, would it say to itself, this is unfair, because notions of justice don't enter into the animal world.
Although, on the other hand, you go out of your way to say that the most dangerous animal in the zoo, when the zoo was open and people were visiting, was man.
You know, murder is a typically human crime, a typically human act, in part because we're so powerful, of course. So, you know, the typical thing, of course, let's say in an environment where there's, let's say, lynxes and hares. If the lynxes kill too many hares and they starve to death, they pay the price. Unfortunately, with our power and our technology, we are killing vastly more, greater number of species than we should. But our technology is, for the moment, protecting us. But ultimately, that balance of nature will reestablish itself.
Tomislav, I asked you, too, what you thought that Jan was saying about animals, but maybe even beyond that, about a deeper meaning in the story. It's so layered. The number of days Pi is lost at sea are 227. When 22 is divided by 7, it's a calculation for the mathematical term Pi. Aha! But then we don't really know what that means. do you feel, are you giving clues, too, in the pictures?
Well, there are clues in the images. If you look at the one where the quote says the ship was worked out of the dock, and if you look at the clouds, and the clouds are actually a map of Pi's route from India to Canada.
Oh, I see it on page 88. There's the map.
There's a map, and if you take a look at the seagulls, they represent Pi's route.
Croatian illustrator Tomislav Tornjanec. We spoke with him and author Jan Martel about the 2007 illustrated Life of Pi. The 2001 novel has just been made into a film by director Ang Lee. And here's another scene from that film in which Pi speaks about his growing dependence on the Bengal tiger, named by clerical error Richard Parker.
We were both raised in a zoo by the same master. Now we've been orphaned, left to face our ultimate master together. Without Richard Parker, I would have died by now. My fear of him keeps me alert. Tending to his needs gives my life purpose.
A scene from the new film, Life of Pi. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. Our producers include Lynn Menegon, Hitesh Hati, Rachel Rohr, Kevin Sullivan, Emiko Tamagawa, Catherine Gorman, Alex Ashlock, and Jill Ryan. Kevin, Alex, feel better. Our interns are Connor Gillies and Emma Jean Weinstein. Our technical director is Doug Sugertz. Chris Ballman is the managing editor. The senior producer of Here and Now is Kathleen McKenna. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings, Here and Now. Mm-hmm.